Heidi Stevens in the Tribune today writes about that Robert Aaron Long, the 21-year-old charged with killing 8 people in the Atlanta area this week. He blamed his actions on sexual addiction. They keep saying he said he had a sexual addiction and that's why he killed those Asian American women. And I thought, who asked him what the reason is, right? Like, just because he says that doesn't mean it's not a hate crime. And in fact, Heidi Stevens went one step further. She reached out to a guy who's an expert on sex addiction, a guy named Joshua Grubbs, an assistant professor of psychology at Bowling Green State University. And she writes about what he said about that. He said, "I'm used to saying, hey, you can't blame your behavior on this when someone like Tiger Woods or Anthony Weiner says it. But there is no reality where it can be used as a justification to kill a large number of people or any number of people. You cannot say, because of my sexual addiction, I murdered people. Sex addiction," he writes, "does not lead you to commit murder. Sex addiction does not lead you to commit hate crimes. Do not excuse racist hate crimes as being part of a result of sex addiction. Racist actions need to be described as such, not as the byproducts of sex addiction. Racism," he said, "is the story." Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy in the Congress is working on a bipartisan bill about this, and he joins us now on WGN. Hi, Congressman. Thanks for jumping on the line. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thank you.
So that's sort of the send-up. We've all been following that story. And then the sort of calculation of number of crimes against Asian Americans since the pandemic started. What are you hearing and what are you doing about this?
Well, first of all, thank you for bringing attention to this issue. Yes, ever since March of last year, the FBI and others report a huge increase in hate crimes directed toward Asian Americans. By one estimate, there's been almost 4,000 such hate crimes just in the last year alone. Many times directed toward women, by the way, and elderly women. In this particular instance in Atlanta, I totally reject that it was based on some kind of sex addiction or worse. I think the sheriff at that point said he was having a quote unquote bad day. These folks were targeted, the 6 women of Asian descent who were murdered. And as a consequence, I and others have put forward a bipartisan hate crimes commission bill that would comprise 12 people designated by Congress, not currently serving in Congress, 6 Democrats, 6 Republicans, to investigate and report back in 1 year what needs to be done about hate crimes to reduce their incidence. And it's actually gaining some momentum right now, John.
Have you selected those people already?
No. We are now in the process of trying to get it passed out of the Judiciary Committee, and then it would go to the floor of the House. But we have we actually have Republican co-sponsorship on this, and we also have sponsors in the Senate.
I wish there was something you could do more immediate than form a commission that will come back in a year. I mean, this is happening today and tomorrow.
Yes, but on the other hand, no such effort has been undertaken by the government at all, and that's partly what has led to what we see right now. In the immediate term, I think we have to prosecute this individual for this hate crime, and we also have to bring attention to it happening in other places, and we have to control our rhetoric, John. Unfortunately, President Trump, when he described COVID-19 as a kung flu, for instance, that was deeply offensive to Asian Americans, including myself and others, and I think that this type of rhetoric we have to end. And that is something that each of us can take a step in doing.
I'll be disappointed, I understand that, marginalizing people, because what was disappointing, I watched some video clips on News Nation last night of the president saying China flu, China flu, China flu, Kung flu. And when he said Kung flu, you'd think he was the funniest comic standing. The crowd erupted with cheers and roars of laughter. And that marginalizes, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but it marginalizes the community that is the butt of the joke. And I'm willing to accept that Donald Trump's willing to tell those jokes. What's disappointing is the crowd that was hooting and hollering over it. That's the scary part.
It is. And let me make it very clear. I have deep disagreements with the Chinese military, the Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese government. And I have voted time and again for sanctions with regard to that government and so forth. However, people of Chinese descent, Americans of Chinese descent or Asian descent, are patriotic Americans who deserve nothing less than equal treatment by everybody. And that includes President Trump, but that includes every one of us. And so I just want to make that very clear and emphatic.
Well, and the point I was trying to make, I'm glad you said that, Congressman, is that I'll be disappointed if the commission comes back and says it's Donald Trump's fault, because it's not Donald Trump's fault. It's boy, we'll be sorry if that's all we've got to show for this. There's something else going on here. And it starts with the top. There's leadership. People follow. But doggone it, Donald Trump didn't do all of this. So let's hopefully find something more comprehensive and something more punitive. I mean, is the federal government in a position? Can the Congress do anything to punish people more severely? Or is that outside your purview?
No, that's something that could possibly be done with regard to creating a federal statutes on this. But I think it's more than that, John. I think that I expect that the Hate Crimes Commission is going to study not just what can be done in terms of strengthening our laws, increasing punishment and deterrence, but also creating awareness and trying to bring to the fore some of the issues that the Asian American community have faced for a long time. Remember, you know, over the last 100 years, and I'm glad you said it's not just Donald Trump, but over the last 100 years, Chinese Americans, Asian Americans, Korean, Japanese Americans, and others, you know, even people from the Middle East and South Asia have been targeted based on misconceptions, stereotypes, and other tropes that have been directed at them over time. And this is something that has to receive attention. People need to be from the various early ages of schooling and so forth. This is going to be a long-term issue.
Well, I hope this commission is fruitful. In fact, I hope it gets through, because my last read on the machinations of the Congress has been that the Republicans are doing everything they can to stall anything, including making everybody vote on whether or not they should adjourn for a given session. Talk about slowing down the proceedings. What's happening there? How efficiently is the House operating right now?
Well, unfortunately, a certain representative from Georgia, her name is Marjorie Taylor Greene, has been calling for a motion to adjourn Congress almost every day in the morning. And that's unfortunate. It's a waste of time, but it's not going to slow us down in, you know, working on other legislation. Certainly the American Rescue Plan Act that we passed last week, is going to be a huge positive development for a lot of families and businesses. And we got that done despite some of her quite frankly, sophomoric antics, and we're going to continue to work.
And she's not the only one, though, that was behind that. But do I understand correctly then? So in other words, to adjourn, they have to call all 435 members' names, and they have to say yay or nay on whether or not we're going to adjourn. Just sort of procedural things and cosmetic things, too. Things that would pass en masse now have to be voted on piecemeal. Is that correct?
For the motion to adjourn, we do have to come, and we have an electronic system, John, so we actually vote you know, go on this particular issue, yay or nay. But yes, there's something called suspension votes that if you have co-sponsorship from something like 290 members of Congress, so it has to be bipartisan, deeply bipartisan, normally that can be brought to the floor right away. And you don't need to go through the usual rules process. But she is now objecting on that as well, And, you know, that's slowing some of those votes down. But that's okay. It just means our days are a little longer. We have to vote into the night a little longer, which is fine. I mean, we just have to get it done.
Yeah. Last thing, Congressman, Raja Krishnamurthy is on a phone line, the co-sponsor then of a anti-hate crime commission, a bill that hopefully will get through the Congress. People are getting their checks now or their electronic transfers of $1,400, some families $5,600. We've been debating on the radio a little bit, Congressman, how to spend that money. Do you have any advice, guidelines, concerns, or cares about how people spend their stimulus, what they do with that money?
Well, I think each family is definitely going to know how to spend it best for their own purposes. But I hope that they, if they have the opportunity or the means to do so, please, please spend it on some of your local businesses, especially the small businesses, the restaurants, especially, which are really hurting right now, John, you know this, but also the other retailers. In my own area, you know, sales tax is down dramatically at retail establishments and other places, restaurants. And so, you know, these folks can use the help. And if you can spend it on that, that'd be wonderful in addition to your necessities.
So it's okay if I buy it, buy some marijuana at the local pot store, Congressman?
It's up to you. It's a free in our state that is possible, John.
Well, you know, it's that sounds silly, doesn't it? And it is a little bit, but my attitude is generally, I mean, one lady said she's going to buy a diamond ring, and I thought, if the money that you are spending goes to the guy selling the diamond ring, why should we cut him out? If I'm working retail at a marijuana store, that's as reasonable or as deserving a job as the person working at the hardware store. So,
can I make another suggestion, John?
Yeah.
You know, I was, you know, one of my family's causes is helping food banks. Northern, Greater Chicago Food Depository, also the Northern Illinois Food Bank, which are the largest food banks that supply all of our township pantries throughout the area. I was on the phone with the head of the Northern Illinois Food Bank, and during the last round of stimulus checks, she told me a very moving story, which is so many people who had received the stimulus checks, and quite frankly, they said, I don't need it. How do I endorse it and send it over to you? If any of your listeners are in a position where they've received these stimulus checks and perhaps they have just a little bit extra left over and they're looking for a good cause, please send it to our food banks and other not-for-profits that are helping our struggling neighbors. That would be an enormous, enormous dose of assistance that they need right now.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy. Stay well, Congressman. Thanks for joining us today.
You too, sir. Thank you so much.